Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Ayin Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin at the bottom of Daf Ayin Ches, Omid Beis. You'll notice three lines from the bottom at the end of the line. The Dibur Masil from the Mishnah Maloi Ofor. The Mishnah that we learned at the end of our previous shiur dealt with a ditch between two courtyards, and the issue that concerned the Mishnah was, is it possible that even though there is a ditch, the two courtyards could make a single Eruv joining themselves together, or is the ditch a division between the two courtyards? So, in the course of that discussion, the Mishnah made mention of a ditch filled with dirt, with offar. And if the ditch is filled with offar, the ditch, of course, that had the dimensions of 10 tvachim deep and 4 tvachim wide, but if it's filled with offar, so it's considered as if the ditch is simply not there, and there would be two chatzeros open totally one into the other, and as the Mishnah says, ma'arvin echo vein marvin shnayim. What we want to evaluate here is the nature or the status of that, of the offar that's filling the ditch. Let us glance at the side of our Gemara, where we have a nosei, a topic heading, where we have written the following. Stira b'inyan ofar. We will see what appears to be a contradiction regarding ofar e stama botel. If the mere presence of dirt indicates one's renouncing it there, leaving it as a permanent filler, oi dafka im bitlo, or is the status of the offer as being a sealer, being a filler, is it such only if there's a formal renouncement and not just an assumed renouncement? So, on the one hand, our mission will indicate that it seems that even if it's an assumed renouncement, that's enough without a formal such renouncement. On the other hand, there is a Tanaic source whose roots are in Maseches Oyelos, which deals with the issue of Tumas Oyel, that comes from Tumas Meis, where it will seem that Ofar is considered a permanent filler only if it's been formally renounced. So we've noted that in our heading here, Be'erevin, which deals with the Inyan of Shabbos, Mashma Destama Botel, it's Mashma that its mere presence is the equivalent of a renouncement, and on the other hand, Betuma, Mashma, in the realm of Tuma, it seems that Bistam, Eino Botel, that if it's simply Stam, without a formal Bittel, it is not considered a permanent filler. So now, let's learn the Gemara. The Gemara, after citing the Mishnah Malo Ofer, the afilu bistama, is it so that even if it's stam there, the offer is, its mere presence is the equivalent of it being renounced, and hence it serves as a filler of the ditch joining the two courtyards together? V'hotna, but have we not learned the following? Now, this is a source, as we mentioned a moment before, from the case of, from Maseches Oyelos, which is a Mishnayos in Seder Taros. Let's glance immediately at the Rashi, who gives us the entire background. Bayis shetumas meis besocho, a house that happens to have some corpse material there. Umiluhu ofar otsuros, and this house that had a piece of corpse or a body in it was filled with the house. This structure was filled with dirt or pebbles. Ubitlo, and there was a formal renouncing of the dirt, meaning the expression of I want the dirt to remain there permanently. Then we say it's mevutal. That is considered a renouncement. Vavei tuma ritzutza. that creates a situation where there is a continuous stream of tumah being radiated above that structure. She'eino oyel le'atzmo. If, let us say, there was a body in the house, and then above the body there was airspace, and then you would reach the ceiling, the roof of the house, and then above the house you have, of course, the roof. If you were standing on the roof of such a house, so the tumah would not affect you, because when you have a corpse-related tumah, tumas meis, so the tumah will radiate from the body or the piece of corpse and will rise till the ceiling. Once it hits the ceiling, it's chotzeitz, it stops the tumah. That act of chatzitza is called oyel. In other words, the oyel functions as a chatzitza, preventing the tumah from going beyond it. However, if the house with the corpse or corpse matter in it was filled with dirt, so then you are canceling the airspace halal phenomenon, and you don't have the required airspace of one tefach to serve to stop the tumah. And as Rashi goes on to say, it's she'ein lo oyel li'atzma. You haven't created this airspace ohel phenomenon. Uvokas v'olah derekin. Therefore, from wherever the body is, right above the body, attached to the body is the dirt. The tumah penetrates the dirt, goes all the way up till the heaven, penetrating the roof, because there's no airspace of, like an air pocket or an airspace of one hand breath. V'amal gag, and one who is on the roof, who is overshadowing the roof from above, tomei. Any tumas meis, where you don't have this called this air space or air pocket of one hand breath, it penetrates and goes upwards. So as it says in Maseches Brachos. So now that background in place, we can go back to our source, and it says bias shemiluhu. There's a girsa that we prefer, the Tosfos girsa, that reads the word here, ofar, making it directly related to our topic of ofar. If you have this house that's filled with ofar, otsuros, or pebbles, ubitlo, and you were mevatil it, then, as we saw in the Rashi, only then does the dirt serve as a filler, as a sealer, canceling, thereby undoing the airspace that would have existed otherwise. But how do you get the dirt to be considered part of the house? Bitlo in. We continue at the top of Ayin Tesel Medav. Loi bitlo lo. As the source says, only if you were mavatil it there. There was a formal renouncement. Then does the dirt become a sealer, a filler. But otherwise, it would be viewed in our mind as if the dirt was not there. And if, even though the dirt may physically be there, but if you view it halachically, legally, as if it's not there, and you would be on the roof of such a house, you would not be affected by the tumah in the house. We have then a stira between our Mishnah that says the stam offer is botel, and the Mishnah from Oyelus, which would indicate it's not botel. The triangles that you see, and they're explained on the side under the Mivneh heading, these are four terutzim liyashiv stira hanal, four approaches to resolve the seeming contradiction. So number one, Omar Avuna, man tana oyelus. Who is the author of Maseches Ohalos? Rabbi Yosihi. That is a particular Tanaic opinion. So it's not a stira, but it's another Tanaic opinion who would hold that stamo, it's not botel. Now we've written above the line, stamo lo botel, and we also have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side to that which we've written in. We will take advantage of that later. The Gemara asks, "E Rabbi Yosi ibha shaminon lei?" If Oyelus is in fact according to Rabbi Yosi, well, shitas Rabbi Yosi in Oyelus we've heard to be the opposite, namely that bistamo it is botel. Disanya, the source says, and notice we've emphasized Rabbi Yosi's name, Rabbi Yosi Omer, teven vein osid lefanoso. If, let us say, there was straw in the house that we described before, and we know that the person doesn't need the straw, but he didn't renounce it there to remain permanently. Harehu kistam ofar ubotel. Notice we've dashed underline this. The tefen, where we know that he does not have plans of removing it, is like, has the same status as undeclared offer, stam offer, undeclared meaning an undeclared renouncement, and it in fact is botel, and it would then create the tumas oihel above the roof that we mentioned before. However, offer the osid lefanoso harehu kistam teven velo botel. This part of the source is less critical for us right now, but it says that if there's a case of dirt and we know he plans to remove the dirt, so then it's not even a case of stam, but rather we know he wants to remove it, so it is like stam teven, and it's not botel. In the case of Tevin, in order for it to be botel, we have to know that he has no plans of removing it. In other words, we know he does not need it. But if by Tevin we don't know that, where stam means it's a simple unknown, so then by Tevin it's not Baltel. In the case of Offer, which is a less significant substance, in the case of Offer, stam Offer is Baltel. Only the case of Offer where there's a specific intention to remove it, then it's not Baltel. But what's important for us right here? Very simply, Rabbi Yossi says that stam Offer is Baltel. So, unlike what Rav Huna tried to say, that Rabbi Yossi is the author of Oyolus representing Stama lo botel, Rabbi Yossi holds Stama is botel. Elo Omar Rav Asi. Rav Asi takes an approach similar to Rav Huna insofar as we don't have a contradiction, but rather he says Mantano Eruvin, who is the author of Eruvin, our Mishnah, which indicated that Stam offer is botel, Rabbi Yossi he. Mishnah and Erevin is like Rabbi Yossi, namely like Rabbi Yossi that we saw in the Braisa dealing with Oyolos. However, the Mishnah from Oyolos is not according to Rabbi Yossi. Rav Huna Brei de Rabbi Yeshua Omar. Rav Huna says, Tuma Ashabas Koramis, are you trying to raise a contradiction between two different realms of Halacha? You're asking from Tuma on as a contradiction onto the case of Shabbos. Koramis means is to raise a contradiction. Hanoch Isur Shabbos, leave aside Isur Shabbos, where as our Mishnah indicates that Bestam it's Botel, Dafilu Arniki Nami Mevatel Inish. In the case of Shabbos, even something like Arniki or wallets, something that you don't move around on Shabbos, a wallet full of money is not something you would move around. So when it comes to Shabbos, by the mere fact that it's Eino Nital, that's enough to have it categorized as Botel, as opposed to, let us say, Tevin Vekash. Here what we're doing is we're contrasting dirt, which can be compared to a wallet with regard to Hilchus Shabbos as something you wouldn't move, as opposed to Tevin Vekash, a straw and stubble, which is Maichol Behema, which is something that animals would eat, and hence it's something you're allowed to move on Shabbos, and therefore it's not considered a sealer. And that's why in our Mishnah we saw that if the pit of the ditch was filled with Tevin or Kash, the two Chatzeres are still considered separate. The ditch is still there as a ditch. However, if the ditch is filled with Ofar, it being that Ofar is something that is not Nital B'Shabbos, it would be considered as if the pit is the ditch is filled, and hence the two chatzeros are considered one entity as far as an eruv is concerned. The Rashi says, "Afilu arniki kis malomos," a wallet or pouch filled with money, botel shom, it would be botel, and it would be considered like a ditch filler. But that's something that's unique to Hilchus Shabbos, in contrast to Tevin and Kash on Hilchus Shabbos. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Ashi, a fourth approach, Omar, Bayis Acharitz Koramis, are you trying to raise a contradiction between the physical ditch versus the physical case of the house? In other words, here the emphasis is on physicality. Bishlam Acharitz, as far as a ditch is concerned, L'metaime Koi, metaime means to be filled up, to be sealed. So a ditch is something designed to be sealed. And as such, Stam Ofor, the unknown case of Ofor, is most likely there for sealing up. And that's something that everyone could agree with. As Rashi points out, even according to the Rabbanon, the Stam Ofor in the case of a ditch will be botel. However, el bayis, but with regard to a house, l'metaime koi, is a house something designed to be filled up? So, not so. And therefore, the offer in the case of the house that is there to remove the oil tefach, that is botel only if there's a formal renouncement. We continue now with another quote from the Mishnah. Again, the ditch, Nosan Oleh Olov Neser Shemrochav Dalid. The Mishnah said that if a board was placed across the ditch that had a width of 4 tvachim, so then they have the option of making a single Eruv. If it's considered like an access point, a Pesach. The Gemara continues, Omar Rava Lo Shanu Ela Shenosan L'Rochboi, that you need to have a Neser with a width of 4 tefachim, that is necessary only if you're using the plank as a type of bridge over a ditch that's currently 4 tefachim wide. So then you'll need a plank that's 4 tefachim in width to be of significance, to serve as a bridge. Avoli Orko. Now here, we'll take advantage of illustration 61 in the Pirush Chai. And that illustration is found on page 164 in the Pirush Chai. If you took a plank, and again, we're dealing with a ditch that is exactly 4 tefachim wide, and you took a plank and placed the length of the plank parallel to the ditch, parallel to the length of the ditch, not as a bridge, but the opposite, but rather parallel, thereby reducing the width of the ditch, then, as the Gemara says, afilu kolshu nami, it's a very narrow piece of wood, it will also serve as a width reducer, sharei miato midalet. In effect, the width of the ditch from the edge, from the outer edge of the plank to the other side of the ditch is less than 4 tefachim. And when you have a ditch that's less than 4 tefachim wide, it's not considered a separation. And then, of course, there is the necessity of making one Eruv, where there is, if it's a... we could say certainly that one Eruv becomes a reality when you have a ditch that's narrow, like described. Now, Rashi points out that the narrow plank itself is placed in the, as we say, parallel to the ditch, if it has itself a length of 4 tefachim, and it was 4 tefachim running in the length of the ditch. So that would create a Pesach. Now, when you have a Pesach, so then we could say the option of making one Eruv exists. We continue in the Gemara. V'chein shtei guzustros zu keneged zu. We saw an illustration of this in our previous year. This is a quote from the Mishnah, illustration 54 on 163. There's another approach to the case of the shnei guzustros, the two balconies in illustration 55, that they're on the same side of the Rishus HaRabim. So we continue. Omar Rava, ha disnan v'chein shnei guzustros, etc., zu keneged zu in. This is true if they are opposite one another. Zu shelo keneged zu lo. However, let us take a look at illustration 62. the illustration here is based on Rabbi Kiva Eger's understanding of Rashi. Zu shelo keneged zu is where one balcony juts out more over the street below than the other. So if you have a situation like that, then the Mishnah describing the joining of the balconies will not apply. We can take a look back at the Mishnah, by the way, on the previous Omid Beis. The Mishnah said, V'chein shnei gezustro zu keneged zu arvin shnayim v'imrotzum arvin echad. If you have the plank joining together these two balconies, then you could, in effect, make one eruv. But here the Gemara is qualifying that and saying this is only so if the two balconies are opposite one another in as we saw illustrated in illustration 54 or 55. However, if you have something like what you see in 62, then the option doesn't exist for making one eruv. The Gemara continues, Vizu lamala mizu nami lo amoron. The case of zu lamala mizu, if you look in illustration 64 at the bottom of page 164, there you can see that one balcony is raised above the other. It's higher than the other. So in such a case, we say that you cannot join the balconies together. However, that point is true eloshiesh bein zelozesh shloshes fochim. If that's so, only if the discrepancy in the height is three tfachim. However, avol ein bein ze loze shloisha, then gzustro akumo hi. If there is no discrepancy of three, in other words, the discrepancy is less than three, then it's called a it's called a bent balcony. In other words, by putting the plank across where you have a height discrepancy of less than three tefachim, it's considered simply a gzustra akuma, and they can be joined together. We continue with the Mishnah. First, we should look at illustration 66 to appreciate this. It is something we've learned in our, we had this in our, quoted in our previous shiur. You can see two courtyards, and what in effect is separating the two courtyards is a wall of animal feed, of hay, the teven. That's illustration 66. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading that we say extends till Omid Beis. Matbein, notice the word matbein has as its root the word teven, which is the hay that animals eat. Shebein shnei chatseros, that is between two courtyards. Number one, dine achilas habehemo legabia teven. We're going to speak about laws regarding the actual animal eating from it. And a second point, shehei gova hateven asora tfochim, that the height of this wall of hay shall be 10 tfochim, deim lo, if it's not 10 tfochim, bot lo hamachitzum arvin echad velo shnayim, then you would only be able to make one eruv, joining the two courtyards together, and not have them make separate internal courtyard eruvs. The Mishnah. Matbein shebein shtei chatzeros gavo asura tfochim, wall of hay that's between two courtyards having a height of 10 tfachim, ma'arvin shnayim v'ein ma'arvin echad. It's considered a wall for all purposes, and therefore they can only make two separate internal courtyard eruvs and not join together. Eilu ma'achilin mikan v'eilu ma'achilin mikan. Each courtyard can have their animals eat from the hay on each one side. Nismai hateven me asorat tfochim. Illustration 67, where you can see the height of the wall has been decreased. Then marvin echad v'ein marvin shnayim. Then they have their option only one joint Eruv and not two separate courtyard Eruvs. The Gemara, Omar Rav Huna, the Wilvad Shelo Itein Lesoich Kuposo V'Achil. The Mishnah mentioned Umachilin. It means the animals can eat from it, but you cannot by hand manually take the offar and put it into a box to feed the animal. The Rashi on this point says Shelo Itein. We don't want you physically taking an action form, taking the hay and putting it in a box. Why not? You might end up taking too much. Umamit le me'asora, and thereby you causing the reduction of the height from to make it less than 10 tefachim. And then you have a problem. Then you end up find yourself moving things around in a chotzer that is forbidden to do such. Umachilin dekotoni b'masnis, and the word machilin that was found in the Mishnah, which has a connotation that you are physically feeding the animal, that means shabehemo b'avuichelus, that the animal comes and eats from it. V'osam lo chayshinu l'dilma mamit. In that case, where the animal is eating on its own, it eats very slowly. Koli means small amounts of slow eating, and therefore we're not worried about the height reduction. We see in the Rashi on second pshat of lo yitein the tokuposo because of muksa, because yesterday on Friday this tevin was there to serve as a wall and not as animal feed, and being that it wasn't designated as animal feed, rather it was designated to be a wall, you can't move the hay. Let's now turn back to the Gemara. We're coming off of Rav Huna's point that the only restriction is taking the tevin by hand and putting it in a box to feed the animal. But positioning the animal there, that seems to be okay. So on this, the Gemara asks, "Ukmi shori," and to stand the animal over there, and say that we're not gozer. We don't impose a restriction. You might come to remove to move the tevin with your hands and put it in a box. Is that really so that we're not worried about that? The Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Now we've dashed underline Rav Huna because the focus of this discussion is on Rav Huna. A moment before, Rav Huna didn't seem to be worried about my coming to move it with my hands, but here he says Ma'amid Odom es Behemto Al Gabi Asovim B'Shabbos Ve'Ein Ma'amid Odom Es Behemto Al Gabi Muktze B'Shabbos. There are two points here, one lenient, one restrictive. If you're dealing with grass, asovim, that are attached to the ground, you can have your animal, you can position your animal on the grass. We're not afraid that someone is going to come on Shabbos to rip out grass that's growing from the ground. Grass growing from the ground and its removal, its ripping out, is a serious Torah-level Shabbos violation. We're not afraid that people will come to violate something that is of such severity. However, if you're dealing with something that is restricted on a mere rabbinic level, we don't want you bringing your animal to that. And that's the muktzah. Muktzah is food or whatever, in the case of hay, we'll say, that was set aside for some other purpose other than feeding the animal. So in this source it says, in this teaching of Rav Huna, it says, a person not allowed to be mamid, the behemoth, by the muktzah on Shabbos, because we're afraid you'll come to move it by hand. And since it's muktzah, you're not allowed to move it by hand. So how can we say, how can Rav Huna before say that the only restriction is moving the hay from the wall of hay by hand, but you would be allowed to stand your animal there, when here you see Rav Huna will not allow you to stand your animal next to something that, whose moving restriction would be midrabbanan. The Gemara answers, you're right. Rav Huna won't allow you to stand the animal right next to the wall of hay, but rather, dekoyim lo ba'apo v'oz lo v'ochlo. You block the animal in such a way that it has no other place to walk to other than to the hay. But you are not standing next to the wall of hay while your animal is eating from it. So being that you're only blocking the animal, leaving it no option other than to go to the hay, that far we don't impose restrictions. We allow that situation, blocking the animal, forcing it to go to the hay. The Gemara now asks, and we have a little arrow just to tie this into the opening statement of Rav Huna, where Rav Huna was restrictive. You're not allowed to take it by hand and put the hay into the box. So here we ask a question. Notice that this is a long question. V'lo yitun l'soich kuposoi teven. Is that really so, that you're not allowed to place into your box the hay? For ha tanya, we have the following source. Bayis shebein shtei chatzeres. Now, before we read further, do take advantage of the illustration on page 165, illustration 68 in the Pirush Chai. This is you see a cutaway picture of a house in the middle of two other structures with a pile of tevin, and in the house you can see that the walls have been broken through, and we have a situation here of multiple domains, and the issue of do all these, let's say, courtyards come together or not. Now what we have is really there's a middle house and two houses to either side, and then a courtyard with other apartments opening into each one of those respective courtyards. So now the Gemara, Vatanya, Bayis Shebein Shtei Chatzeros, a house that is found between two courtyards, Umilu Teven, and this source is rather terse. Rashi fills in the information that we were able to see by looking at the diagram, because when you look at the source itself, it indicates there's a single house between two courtyards, but that's not the case here. There are two houses opening into this middle house. So that having been said, the middle house then was Umiluhu Teven. The middle house was filled with with a straw. Ma'arvin shnayim vein ma'arvin echad. The two courtyards are considered separate from one another, and therefore they make two separate internal courtyard eruvin, and they don't join their courtyards together. The tevin serves to block them off. Zen noisim the soch kupos of yachil. The zen noisim the soch kupos of yachil. Notice we've dashed underlines because this is really the main point. In this source, you see a great leniency that the people from either side can physically take the hay and put it in their boxes to feed their animals, unlike that which Rav Huna said at the opening of this piece of Gemara. Nismayit ha-tevin me'asorot tvochim. If the height of the tevin becomes less than 10 tvochim, then shnehem asurim. The two courtyards become forbidden. And we won't allow the people on either side to feed the animals, because the people on either side in that illustration are in effect part of two courtyards that are not really separated from one another anymore, and they aser one on the other. They impose restrictions one on the other. So ketzad hu oseh, the Rashi explains so importantly, let us say that the height of the tevin in fact did become less than 10 tefachim, and the two courtyards are now usur. Can we do anything to enable one courtyard at least to continue moving things around on Shabbos? So what can be done? Maybe just to review a point that everyone probably knows already by having learned the Masichta, but the problem here is that you have two multiple domains converging one on the other by virtue of the fact that you don't have a wall of 10 tefachim between these two houses anymore, because the tefen height has become decreased. And you have two converging domains, one on the other, that imposes a restriction. So how do we solve this problem? Chesed Ose, the Gemara continues, Noyel es Beso, Umavatil es Rishuso. The one of the two homeowners there that you see illustrated renounces his house and renounces his house, his ownership, so to speak, and he is therefore removed from the picture. That's Noyel es Beso, Umavatil es Rishuso. He locks his house and renounces his ownership. Hu Asur v'Chaveru Mutar. So he can no longer take from the Tevin, but his friend can. V'chein ata oimer begov shel Tevin shebein shnei tchumei Shabbos. The illustration of the Gov shel Tevin is found illustration 69 on page 165 in the Pirush Chai. This is an aerial view. There are two cities. The distance between the two cities is 4,000 amos, so that each city is really beyond the tum of Shabbos from the other city. And you have a pit filled with animal feed between the two tchumin, as you can see. The Rashi explains, in a case like that, each city can take from its half of the pit and feed their animals. Just like we spoke about the houses when the Tevin wall was high enough, as you can see in illustration 68, each house that's can take from its side of the Tevin. There's one more detail that we would like just to emphasize by looking at Rashi. In the case of Bittel, where the source asks what is the solution at least to enable one of the parties to carry around, so Rashi says, Hu Asur, though after the party that renounced his ownership, he is Asur Lahotzi, may also bias Lahotzer Shalo, he can no longer carry from his house into the chotzer that his house opens into, Shari Bitel Rishuso, the Chol HaBayis Ki Chotzer Acheres Hu. Once he renounces his house, the house becomes like part of another chotzer, so he cannot carry in and out of his house. However, the party on the other side of the Tevin is not affected anymore, because that which would have affected is now considered sealed off. We continue back in the Gemara. Kotoni Mias, we're reading the Gemara from after the source. It said, however, in this source, Zen noisin the soch kupas of Yachiv, Zen noisin the soch kupas of Yachiv, that you are allowed to manually take from the straw and put it into your box, even though you're dealing with a wall of Tevin in illustration 68 that separates these two domains. Then why there are we lenient, whereas in illustration 66 in the Matbein Shebein Shnei Chatzeres, do we not allow, according to Rav Huna, taking by hand and feeding the animal? The Gemara answers, there's a difference. Amri, bias, in the case of a structure like a house with a roof on it, kevon te'ika tekra, since there is a roof, ki mafchis, when the height becomes less, mafchis more pochos, when it's diminished, min kirali, milsa, it's something that is obvious. You can see there's relativity, the relative height of the tevin vis-a-vis the roof above. And if one sees that the tevin height became reduced less than 10 tefachim, so he will immediately know stop and no more moving things around, because you have two domains converging on one another. So we can be lenient here because things are recognizable. Minkara. However, hocha, in the case of the matbein of our Mishnah, since it's an open air wall, there's no roof above it. Lo minkura lemil, so if it becomes diminished, it won't be so clear, and the fear of people continuing to draw from it exists even after the two domains converge on one another by virtue of the reduced height. Nismait hateven me'asorot tvochim shnehem asurim. The Gemara points out ha asora. However, if the matbein remains 10 tfochim in height, shari, it's okay. The afagav, the medalia tikro tuva. In the case of the bias that we discussed, not the matbein, but the bias that we just discussed, we're saying that the problem exists only if the tevin height becomes less than 10 tfochim. However, if that's not the case, it's becomes reduced vis-a-vis the height that it originally had. It was close to the roof, and now it's less. So that doesn't concern us. So should we come to the following conclusion? Shma mino. Should we conclude from here? Mechitzos she'en magios l'tikra shmon mechitzos. This was a point discussed earlier in the Masechta, and here we would seem to have a source that would offer conclusive information, even though prior to this wasn't conclusive. Should we conclude, therefore, that mechitzos, that separations or walls that don't reach the roof, are considered effective mechitzos, effective separations? Omar Abaye. Abaye says, no, we're not going to use this source to conclude that particular discussion, because here, hocha bebayis shloshos uchosur mashu askinon v'teven asora. When we speak here about the teven height becoming reduced less than 10 tfachim, the reduction here is critical because you no longer have a mechitza of 10 tfachim, because originally you started with a wall of tevin measuring 10 tfachim, the top of which was within 3 tfachim of the tikra, of the roof, of the ceiling. So in effect, since it's within 3 tfachim of the ceiling, that's considered a mechitza hamagio la tikra. Once the tevin becomes reduced even by a mashu, it's no longer within 3 tfachim. And as far as the mechitza is concerned, it's not 10 tfachim either anymore. However, in general, what is the rule with regard to mechitza she'ein magios l'tikra? We can't conclude that from this particular discussion. It could very well be that mechitza she'ein magios l'tikra, in fact, are not a mechitza. And over here, everything was calculated to be, we'll call it precise or exact. The roof itself was less than 13 tfachim from the ground. The matbein, the tevin, was itself started off 10 tfachim, being within 3 tfachim of the roof. Once it becomes reduced a mashahu, it's no longer something that is, one, no longer touching the roof, and two, it's no longer a mechitz of 10 tfachim. We continue in the Gemara with another approach. V'ravhuna braid Rav Yeshua Amar filu tema bebayis asora v'teven shiva umashehu. We can say that here we're talking about a house that was all of 10 tfachim high, and the teven that was between them was 7 plus a mashehu, 7 plus. The chopachos mishloshik lovud domi. Anything that is within 3 tfachim is considered lovud, considered attached. So that in this case, we were dealing with something that by necessity or had to be a mechitza hamagia latikra. So we can't conclude from this that a mechitza she magia latikra is not a mechitza. We are continuing at the top of Omid Beis. Bishlamo la baye. according to Abaye's approach, who said that we're speaking, that the Mishnah is speaking about a case of a house that's 13 minus a mashehu of height, and the Tevin started off as 10 tfachim. So Hainu Dikotoni Mei Asora, the Lashon of the Mishnah, of the Tanaic source, that is, that said Nismayit HaTevin Mei Asora, so that makes sense, that language makes sense, that the Tevin became reduced from 10. That was his original, that was the original dimension Abaye presented with regard to the Tevin. It started off as 10, now became reduced to less than 10. Elo le Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, Mai Mei Asora. But according to Rav Huna, where the Tevin started off as 7 in Amashu, what does it mean to become reduced less than 10? The Gemara answers, Mitoras Asora, from the rules of 10. That means a Mechitza is known to be something that's 10 Tvachim of height. When the Tevin that was originally within 3 tfachim of the roof, even though it technically was 7 in a mashu tfachim, but it becoming reduced cancels its mechitza status. That's what we mean here. The Toras mechitza, the rules of the Toras Asorah, is the rules of Asorah, or we can say the rules of mechitza. So we justify the language of the source even for Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua's presentation. We should have pointed out earlier, we didn't say so with crystal clarity, but when the Gemara opened up this most recent discussion by saying, Shmamino, should we conclude that Mechitza Shemagiz Latikra are considered Mechitzos, that is something that is the subject of a controversy. And if we would have been able to come to that conclusion, then we would have had a Tanaic source siding with one of the opinions. And we know that that remains a machlokas. So apparently, we have to say that this source does not serve as a basis for concluding that point that mechitza shemagiz l'tikra are considered effective. Not necessarily so. We continue in the Gemara. You'll notice we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. The star tells you to look back at Omid Aleph, and you can see that we've toward the bottom quarter of the page, you see there's the source that had mentioned Nismayit HaTevin Me'asorah Tfachim Shnehem Asurim, the two houses on either side of that middle house cannot carry in and out of their courtyards. The Gemara Shmamino, should we conclude from this case, the Yurin Haboyin Bishabas Oisrin, that dwellers that come on Shabbos, they can impose a prohibition? Now this too was a point that was discussed earlier in the Masichta, and since it was part of a machlokes, the issue of the Yurin Haboyin Bishabas, this source would serve to conclude that machlokas, to show that one side is correct. What do we mean here about the Yurin Havoyim B'Shabbos? Who arrived on Shabbos? Well, by the fact that the Tevin height became reduced, and the Tanaic source says that imposes a restriction on the other side, it's as if they arrived on Shabbos. Before the reduction of the Tevin height, they were separate. With the reduction of the Tevin height, it's as if they came together. And so you have two domains that have not made an Eruv. So should we conclude that? So the Gemara says, Dilmo de imit me'esmo. In this source, you can't say that it necessarily the height became diminished on Shabbos. Maybe the height became diminished from the day before, from Friday already. So it's not a case of dwellers arriving on Shabbos. Because counter to this issue of people arriving on Shabbos, there is the Sfora that if these new dwellers were not there at the beginning of Shabbos, once Shabbos begins without these new people who didn't contribute to an Eruv before they ever came, once it becomes mutter, once it's mutter at the entrance of Shabbos, it remains mutter for the rest of Shabbos. by virtue of the answer of this Gemara, or this rebuffing, if you will, Dilma de'imit me'esmo, so we're not talking about people that arrived on Shabbos. And if people would arrive on Shabbos that had not contributed to the Eruv, they would not necessarily impose any restriction. Ketzahu oise, so we saw in the case of the height of the Tevin, in fact, becoming reduced, what should be done now? So it meant in the source, again, the star helps you to find where this is found. It said, Noel Esbeis, so one thing is he locks his door, Umavatel Rishuso, and also renounces his ownership of the house. So he becomes removed from the picture, and hence you don't have two domains converging on that Tevin in that middle house. The Gemara asks, Tarti, do you need to do both things? Both locking the door and renouncing of Rishus? Why? Once he would do, let us say, just one of those things, that would be enough to remove him from the picture. So the Gemara answers, Hochi Ko'amar. Thusly, we should really understand the source. Oy Noyol Es Beiso, Oy Mevatel Es Rishuso. One or the other would be enough. That if he locks his door, so he reveals to us that he is removing himself from here, and that would be enough. And as Rashi says, that itself would be his bittul. The Gemara continues, V'iboyesema, another approach to understanding the source is, li'olam tarti, really, you do need to do both. Kevon de doshbe, osi little tu. Doshbe means since he was so accustomed to using it, so just by doing one thing, that would not be enough. The Rashi explains quite beautifully that as far as the heter for his friend to use his house, carry things in and out of his house, in fact, one of these motions would have been enough. However, the need for doing both, locking the door and also renouncing your ownership, that's for yourself, that's for the man himself, because we want so as to create an additional harchoka, distancing from a problem, that he shouldn't come to carry in and out of his house, being that he was used to doing that up till now. Rashi has an additional pshat, but not for right now. Just to review just the term, the kivon de doshbe, dosh means person who is accustomed, who is regular to doing something. So in order to keep him away from carrying in and out of his house, we tell him not only renounce your rishus, but also lock the door. We continue. Hu aser v'chavero muter. This is also from that Tanaic source on Omen Aleph. Pshita, well, that's obvious, isn't it? And once you renounce your ownership, so you can no longer carry in and out of your house, but the other party can. So the Gemara says, Lo tzrichodik, this Tanaic source is necessary to be taught to hoder idach ubatil le lechavrei, that after Mr. 1 was mevatil to Mr. 2, Mr. 2 was later in the day then mevatil back to Mr. 1. The ha komash malon, and the teaching where it says hu aser v'chaveru muter is telling me the ein mevatlin v'chozen mevatlin, that you're not allowed to have this two-way renouncement, but rather the one who renounced, he remains aser, and the other person who benefited remains muter. V'chein ato omer begov shel teven shebein shnei tchumei Shabbos. We saw this at the end of that Tanaic source on Omen Aleph, and we had referenced the illustration 69 on page 165, that aerial view of a pit of hay between two Tchumei Shabbos, that each city can draw from their side of the pit that's within their Tchum. The Gemara asks, Pshita, is this not obvious that each city can take from the pit that's from the side of the pit that's within their respective tchumin? The Gemara answers, Lo tzricha, no, our Mishnah is necessary. It's not teaching me something obvious. But Rabbi Akiva, according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, Domar tchumin do raisa, that the restriction of tchumin, of going beyond your domain or bringing something from outside your domain or your tchum to within your tchum is a Torah level prohibition. So if you take Rabbi Akiva's position that tchum is a Torah level prohibition, mal d'tam, I would have thought, ligzar, let us impose a restriction, dilma osi lichlufi. He might come to switch around, meaning, and take Tevin that is from the far side of the pit, vis-a-vis your tchum, and that would be a Torah level violation if you would come to do that. Komash Malon, what the Mishnah is telling me, that even according to Rabbi Akiva, that the issue of tchum, or the issur of tchum, is doraisa, we don't impose such a restriction. The Mishnah. Ketzad mishtatfin v'movui. How is a shituf muvos accomplished? The shituf muvos is the joining together of the different courtyards that open into a common alley. So the Mishnah says, Miniach es hachovis v'omer. A person places down a barrel, let's say a barrel of wine. He can do this. He can take his own barrel of wine. Instead of making a collection of food from each courtyard, he can place down his own barrel of wine, the Omer, and declare, Harezu l'chol b'nei movui. This is dedicated to all the members of this alleyway. Umezake lohen ayidei b'no uvito hagdolim. Mezake is a formality of giving over the barrel to someone else who takes it on behalf of the other members of the alleyway. In other words, a mere declaration is not enough, but there has to be a formal acquisition on behalf of the others, and that's accomplished by the owner giving the barrel to his own son. However, he must be adult. That's Bino Bito Hagdolim, V'ayide Avdo V'shivchaso Ivrim, and a Jewish servant or bondmaid, the Al Yidei Ishto, likewise, he can give it to his wife, who will accept it on behalf of the other members of the alleyway. Avol, however, there are people that cannot serve as a mezake on behalf of the others, and that is because they don't have their own identity, so to speak. They are subservient to the owner, so it would be the equivalent of giving it from your right hand to your left hand, and that would not accomplish this acceptance on behalf of the others. And who are those people? Avoleinu mezake lo al yedei beno vito haktanim, his own children if they happen to be minors, v'lo al yedei avdo v'shipchasu haknanim, nor through his heathen bondmaid or servant, mitnei sheyadon kiyodo, because their hand is like your own, which means you haven't successfully removed it from your possession on behalf of others. In other words, someone who is outside your own person hasn't accepted it. The Gemara, before we learn it, we want to look at the side under our no say heading, which features shiur hagbo'o kishemezake hashituf mevuos lachirim. When we speak about mezake, someone taking it on behalf of the others, how much must he raise it from the ground in order to actually acquire it on their behalf? We are going to encounter a series of triangles. These are explained under the Mivneh heading that you can see where the triangles featured. Sidra shel halachos shel sabi de pumpadisa. These are a series of halachos that are said in the name of sabi de pumpadisa. Rashi points out that sabi de pumpadisa is a reference to Rav Yehuda and his yeshiva, as is pointed out in Maseches Sanhedrin daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. So what we've tried to do with our markings is to create a sense of series, because otherwise connection, if you will, between these halachas and our mesichta really doesn't exist. So our Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda, Chovis shel shitufei mevuos tzorach lahagbia min hakarka tefach. The barrel containing the in this case, the wine that serves as the unification of the different courtyards to make the Shita Levavos has to be raised above the ground one handbreadth. We have a bracketed section and also a bracket length indicator, and this, you can see, takes you to Omid Beis. The brackets are explained by looking at the starred comment on the side. We just mentioned that according to Buda, the barrel must be raised a tefach from the ground, the barrel of wine. However, when we get to Omid Beis, if you skip the bracketed section, four lines from the top of Pei, that is Pei Omid Aleph, not Omid Beis, but Pei Omid Aleph, the Gemara there says Meisve, and we raise a question from a Tanaic source, and in that Tanaic source, if you skim ahead, you can see that the raising feature there, you notice the dashed underlining at the end of that source on Pei Omid Aleph, it said Mashu, right before that said Magbi Amenakat, Mashu, just raise it from above the ground a negligible amount. That would seem to run against that which Rav Yehuda is saying, that there's a need for raising it a tefach above the ground. So now let us, being that the structure is clear, let us go into the bracketed section, and realizing that after the brackets we then get back to this topic. Omar Rava, Hani Tarti Mili, Sabi de Pumbadiso Amrinu. The following two points were mentioned by the elders of Pumbadiso, which means Rav Yehuda and his yeshiva, Chadaha, one, that which we just learned, the Idoch, the second halacha, is Hamakadish, one who is making Kiddush. We are familiar with Kiddush. Every Friday night we get together and make Kiddush. Even if you're alone, you'll make Kiddush over a cup of wine. And the halach is im to'am melo lugmov yotza, if you drank from the wine a melo lugmov, a cheekful of wine, that's a quantity, a liquid quantity we call melo lugmov, literally a cheekful of wine, he then has fulfilled his kiddush requirement. V'im lav lo yotza, if he hasn't tasted that amount, he hasn't fulfilled his requirement. Omar Rav Chaviva, ha nami sabat b'mili samrinu. The following is also something that Sabi to Bubadisa taught. The Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Oisin Medura Lechaya B'Shabbos. That one is allowed to make a fireplace, light a fireplace, make a bonfire for creating heat for a Chaya. Chaya is a woman who just gave birth. A woman who just gave birth, for she needs heat for her well-being, and even though otherwise this would be a major Shabbos violation, but since she needs it for her physical well-being, otherwise she's there's a sakonas nefashos issue, we allow you to light the madura for her. Savor mina, the assumption here, the initial thought was to say l'chaya in l'choy lelo, only for a woman who recently gave birth, but for another type of ailing individual, we wouldn't allow this. And another thought, that the allowance is only in the winter season when it's objectively cold outside. However, in the summer, the emosachama, we wouldn't have this allowance. So that was, this is sovor mina, means this is a hava mina. The Gemara rejects that. Itmar, Omar Rav Chiyo Bar Ovin, Omar Shmuel, Hekiz Dam Vinitstanin, a person who bloodlet. That bloodletting is a medical procedure having no connection to a Chaya per se. So someone who bloodlet Vinitstanin and then started to experience chills, Oisin Loi Madura B'Shabbos, we can make a fire for him on Shabbos. In other words, the loss of blood and his subsequent chills indicates to us that this person is in danger, is suffering from a life-endangering situation. And not only that, Vafilu B'Tkufas Tamuz, Shmuel tells me, and Shmuel, by the way, was himself a doctor. So he points out that this is allowed even in the summer season, because we're talking about something that's not, it's a chill that's not dependent, not a function of external causes, and therefore we make this allowance even in the summer season. Omar Amemar, Ho Nami, Sabhu B'Nisa Aminu. The following is also something Sabi Tamu B'Nisa taught. the Itmar Ezo Hi Asherah Stam. The Asherah is something we saw in a very recent daf of our Gemara. This is an idolatrous tree, and as such, it's something that one is not allowed to benefit from, and there's also, in the case of certain Asherahs, they must be destroyed. So how do I identify a tree as being an Asherah? In other words, as Rashi says, even though I haven't seen people worshipping it, I nevertheless will assume that it is, in fact, the tree of idolatry. How do I know that? How can I conclude that? Omar Rav. So Rav is a first approach. He says, Kol shemishorse oivdei glilim shoymrin oisa. The Gemara continues at the top of Pei Omen Aleph. V'ein toamin mi peiroseha. Any tree that the idol worshippers, the heathens, guard and don't taste from its fruits, that shows us that that it must be something that's being worshipped, because otherwise why would they distance themselves from it? A second approach, here at the top line of Pei Omen Aleph, a second approach to what would show us a tree to be idolatrous, even though I don't have any formal evidence that it was being worshipped. So Shmuel says, Kagon de Amri, a tree concerning whom people would say, would declare, Hani Tamri l'shichu de bein atzerfi. The Tamri, the dates from this tree, are for making shichu, the beer of bein atzerfi. Bein atzerfi is the name of an idol that was in that locale. The shosulei biyom edom, the beer that they refer to as something they drink on their on that particular holiday. The Omru Li Sabi to Babadisa, Hilchus HaKavosi de Shmuel. Here's the connection we mentioned before, the Sabi to Babadisa. The Sabunisi are the ones that rule like Shmuel. That would be a Stam Asherah. Now here you see the brackets close, and we go back to the original issue, was how high off the ground must the barrel be raised in order to be considered an acquisition on behalf of the other members of the alleyway. So Meisvei, we should just to review the main point, and that is that Rav Yehuda, he said it must be raised a tefach from the ground. Here is a Tanaic source, as we said, will show otherwise. Meisvei, Ketzad Mishtatvin B'Mavui, how is Shituf Mavos accomplished? Mevi'in Chovis Shel Yayin V'Shel Shemen V'Shel Tmon V'Shel Grogus V'Shel Sharmine Peros. Person brings a barrel filled with wine, with oil, with dates, with figs, with any other kinds of fruits. Im Mishelo Tzorach Lezakos. If the contents of this barrel is his own, so then in order to demonstrate that it belongs to all the members of the Mavui, so the Zechiyah process must be instituted. V'im Mishalahen, if it's food that belongs to the other members of the court of the alleyway, Tzorach Lehodia, he has to inform them to make sure that it's that they approve of their fruits, their food items being used for this unification mechanism. Rashi points out that in the event that someone objects, so then it doesn't accomplish what it is supposed to accomplish, and we're failing here with a sheet of uvos or with an eruv, which means joining together, and you're lacking that element if someone objects. Umagbia minakarka mashu, and as it says here, and then the barrel must be lifted above the ground a negligible amount, not like Rav Yehuda said back on Ayin Tesomid Bey's full tefa. The Gemara answers my mashu nami dekomar. This source, when it uses the term mashu, it really means tefach, being that a tefach is not very much of height. It's referred to by the term mashu, but this source is not a repudiation of Rav Yehuda's insistence on it being lifted a tefach above the ground. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.